This is Beyond the Divide, traversing the experiences in the world of disability. I'm Harrison Kirkwood, your host for this podcast series, produced by Singleton Council and proudly supported by the New South Wales State Government. Jessica Pitkin is a friend and colleague of mine at Singleton Council. Jess works on our disaster risk reduction team and has some valuable insights to share with us today. Hi Jess, how are you doing?
I'm great, Harry. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Can you tell us what your role is at Council, please, Jess?
Yeah, I'm the Emergency Management and Engagement Officer at Singleton Council, Harry.
What do you do in that role, Jess?
Well, I think about all things emergency management and try and help the community prepare and council prepare some of its processes as well. And we're starting to go out to the community and engage with the community and our emergency management partners such as RFS and SES and Fire and Rescue.
What drew you to this line of work? Is it a lifelong passion or did you find yourself here incidentally?
I kind of just fell into it. That's what I would say, but other people would say I've come into it because of my role with SES, I suppose. I've been a volunteer for 19 years, so I've been through a bit of a few emergencies. Yeah.
Yeah. And why is it important for the community to be prepared for emergencies?
You never know when an emergency is going to strike, and having your stuff all together, like your documents and everything like that, is a great way to prepare. Because if there's, say, a flash flood or a fire that comes through, you can easily grab everything that you need and get out of harm's way really quickly. Mm. When people aren't prepared, that's when disaster strikes them.
Mm. And they feel the impacts of that disaster greater than people who are more likely prepared.
Absolutely, no.
Yeah. Do you think from your work and the vibe you're picked up through your conversations that many people in the community take preparedness seriously, or is it something we still need to push the message out on?
Oh, I think we definitely have to push the message out to get more people prepared. There's a lot of people out there that I live in the moment and, you know, if it happens to me, I'll figure it out then. There are a lot of demands on people these days, especially with cost of living and everything that's going on in life. So people probably put it at the back of their mind, but it's, I think, the most important time.
Totally. And a prime opportunity to prepare it a bit more when we have a little bit more time on our hands. And it might seem a bit of work now, but ultimately nothing's more important to us than our family and our friends and our homes. So keeping all of those safe is the most important thing to all of us, even though we might fully appreciate it now. What are some really simple ways they could prepare their home, for example?
The first thing I would start with is getting all those documents in order. So things like your birth certificate or your Medicare cards, your insurance documents, all of those things, just putting them in one place. It doesn't matter how you do it. If you just put them in one place, you're really going to save yourself time in an emergency. Mm. And things that you probably don't think about when it's those important documents are photos. So important, those old school photos. So putting everything in one place, maybe in a box or in a waterproof or water-resistant envelope, is really going to help you save time. You can also, like, prepare your house a little bit better to for fires, because we are right in the middle of a fire danger period. So you can, like, trim overhanging trees or you can mow grass and just clean up the house, which people generally do anyway. So maybe you could just do that little bit extra, so trim the hedges so they're not over your gutters, or clean your gutters at the same time when you're preparing your house for your family and friends to come around.
Mm. Great advice there. Thank you for sharing that. Can you tell us just briefly a little bit about what a Get Ready team is?
A Get Ready team, this is a program that we're trying to get off the ground at Council, and it's a way of connecting with your community. So individual communities often share the same sort of challenges, I suppose, when there's disaster. So I'm from the Bulga community, for example. We have storms, floods and fires are probably our top three. So just being able to talk to your neighbour and discuss what those challenges might involve for your community And then when disaster does strike, so say, for instance, in the 2022 floods, we were all isolated there together and we were the first responders for our community before like the SES could get to us. So we can always go to our neighbour and say, hey, I need this supply. Can you help out? So it's just simply a way of connecting with your local community, bringing them together and seeing how you can help out a mate when disaster strikes.
Mm, mm. As someone with a disability myself, being blind, as I've mentioned to listeners in the intro to this podcast series, emergency planning is still relevant for me as a human, I guess, but it might also have some extra layers for people with disability. So, for example, you know, I guess a good example would be for me, you know, I'm very fortunate to have good family support, but if someone was in my position and not able to see, living out of town, if a bushfire was approaching, I guess I could smell the smoke, maybe feel the heat, but if it was a little bit further away in the distance, I might see that there's an orange glow or glaze. So what method do I have to alert me early from a non-visual signal point of view that there may be a fire there? How would they get to an evacuation centre? What would that transportation option look like for them? People with disability have to consider key points of view to their functioning and support needs in their emergency planning.
Yeah, they absolutely do. This can also be relevant to people who are more and more these days inside or stuck on their phone and that sort of thing. Like, I'm guilty for scrolling TikTok or something like that instead of probably listening out for emergency information from proper channels. So you can always listen to the radio. So our local radio station, our emergency broadcaster is ABC, which is 12:33 a.m. I'm pretty sure. So you can listen out there, or you can always listen for Singleton Council. We have our own channels as well that you can go through. And then, of course, the combat agency. So for flood, that would be the SES, and for bushfire would be RFS.
Mm. And to hit home to our listeners about the importance of preparedness, emergency services such as the SES, RFS and the like are here and able to assist the community in an emergency. But there's far greater people in the community than there are emergency personnel. So that's one reason it's really important that individuals are prepared. And it's more important for individuals with complex needs, such as people with disability, to consider those extra support needs that they will have. I guess in an effort to support the community, Singleton Council has partnered with the University of Sydney, as you know, to deliver person-centred emergency planning and support, which is a program that supports people with disability to think of their needs, what they do day to day, and what kind of things they would need in an emergency. I undertook some facilitation training online as well as you, Jess. Do you have any points that stuck out from that course to you that were a good learning point?
Yeah, I think there were a lot of learning points in that course, but the importance of being prepared as someone with a disability, people with disability need to take that extra care, because sometimes they might not have the same everyday help like a support worker, for instance. They might get caught up helping their family and can't get to you. So maybe you might sometimes have 5 support workers and you might have 1. Sometimes you might have none. How are you going to navigate that? I think it's very important to figure that out beforehand, and some things you can put in place. People that have higher needs, they might have electric wheelchairs or need beds and lifters and all those sorts of equipment. Do you have chargers? Do you have backup power? I was in a webinar recently and they stated that only 5% of life support people had backup power, which surprises me. Now it is so important to have those backups in place. And even just things as simple as like communicating your needs to emergency services. So if there was a flood and you had to be evacuated, what do you need when you get to wherever you're going? Do you need them to grab your crutches or your cane so that can help you on the other end instead of just getting in a boat and not knowing what's on the other end? Help them help you, I suppose, is another thing, if they can, you know.
Open communication, forward planning and collaboration. That sounds like some key ingredients to successful emergency planning. So if anyone needs more support or information, they're obviously welcome to contact us at Council in the Disaster Risk Reduction Team.
Yes, absolutely they are. There are programs out there that can help as well. One that I used for my mum recently was the ADAR program, which is put out by RFS. So that's Assist, Infirm, Disabled and Elderly Residents program. And that can help people. It's a one-off service that can help people trim the trees or clean the gutters, do some whippersnipping and some care and maintenance around their home to get it prepared for bushfire season.
Right. Well, it's truly a fabulous resource from what I've heard about that ADAR program, and I'm sure there are many others like it. We can attach some other resources, links to other resources, in the notes of this podcast episode as well to help listeners going forward. And as always, we invite you to get in touch. It's been a true pleasure hearing your insights, Jess. Thanks so much for sharing them, and hopefully we can be all more prepared together. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Harry.